It is indeed a privilege for us to be here again. Although we just came home from the Philippines, and I think God sent us here again just for 2 weeks. And when we came over, we don't know what to do. We just flow with what God wants. Anyway, we are here. Amen. The funny thing yesterday, I know I'm going to preach Sunday night. And then they told me that there won't be any Sunday night service. So I said, yay! And then in just a few minutes, there's a call. Then it said, you're going to preach in the morning. Praise God. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for this glorious day. Truly, O God, your thoughts and your plans are not our thoughts and our plans. You know better than us, Lord. So we just commit you, O God, this day, this service. Take hold of my whole being, O Lord. And Lord God, give my brethren patience, O God, while I speak. Hide me behind the cross. Open all our ears and our eyes that we may be able to hear and see what the Spirit is trying to show us. Guard our hearts as we listen to thy word. Only your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. This verse, 2 Timothy 1:9, has, I think it was about a year ago or a year and a half ago. It broke through my heart. And I kept reading it over and over and over again. It says, who had saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So when this verse hit me, I said, Lord, before the world began. So before I was born, you have chosen me. And before I was born, you have a purpose for me. You have a plan for me. So that went on ringing over and over again, and it overwhelms me. When it overwhelms me, I kept running to the Lord and say, I kept asking him, what are those purpose and plan? And that calling, if that calling and that plan and that mission and that purpose is in my life, I want to know it. And I don't want to fail you with that purpose, plan, and calling. Well, it's hard for us because we know who we are, isn't it? We know who we are. And I was overwhelmed when I got saved. And growing up, all the things that happened to me growing up, and then I got saved. And when I got saved, the more I was overwhelmed with the love of God towards each one of us. Because all of us have been called by God. All of us, God has a purpose and a plan for us. And I am overwhelmed with that. And one time, along the journey of our Christian life, because a lot of things that we went through, until finally I said, you know what? I said to the Lord, you created me. You chose me. You have given me, you have given that plan and purpose for me. So if you called me and you've chosen me and you've saved me, I am overflowing with gratitude, but I said, I am in a situation right now of all the things that we've been through along the journey. I told him, all these things that are right before my eyes right now that seem so impossible, I said. But you're the one who planned this. And if you're the one who planned this, you're the one who's going to solve it. As long as I align myself to the destiny that you have destined for me to glorify you. Amen. Well, we are in an important time in God and in His purposes. And we need to be taking the right steps to keep our hearts sensitive to the Lord and poised open towards Him. You know, in a time of the outpouring of God's Spirit, which is about to happen, which is almost upon us, and during those times, people are apprehended in God regarding their destiny. Some things do not happen until there is a rise in the Spirit. Do you feel a rise in the Spirit? I feel that. In the worship, in our devotion this morning, I feel it. God is here. God is saying something to us. From the devotion to the worship, God is saying something to us. There is a rise in the Spirit. Amen. Some things do not happen until that rise in the Spirit hit us, hit our land, hit our church, hit every individual in this place. And sometimes we have to wait on God to show us major purposes of our destiny to be unfolded until there is an outpouring of God's Spirit. And when there's an outpouring of God's Spirit in a very real way, in a revival condition, God begins to apprehend His people regarding their destiny in a greater way, begins to take them into it. And I pray in the name of Jesus that God will awaken our destiny today. Amen. It's not like just an everyday life that we used to do, a routinary life. But every day as you wake up, when that destiny is awakened, you know, every day when I wake up, I tell Him my life is not my own anymore. Lord, help me to see through the natural. Not to depend on the natural, but to see through the natural. Because I'm here for a purpose. You have called me. I have to do something. You have destined me something. Things change. People are brought into new faces in their lives, in their destiny. I just want to talk to you about that today and preparing for that today. Because the time is important. You know, as we are being built up to God, pouring out His Spirit, all hell can break loose. You know that. But we just need to hold on our peace. Amen. No matter what the enemy does to us, we can sing in the midst of the storm. We can sing in the midst of situations that we do not understand. You know what I do? I push myself to love God in situations that I do not understand. I push Him until there will be a stirring in my heart. You know, that fire will begin to be a flame for His love. Until that love will consume me. And then the confusion will disappear. And then fear will disappear. It's just the love of God that remains and consumes me. It's a strong power that I do not understand, but it's so real. We just need to hold still. Don't get into fight. Just hold still in God. Just hold still in God. You know, it's having done all stand, you wait before God. And God is going to take the initiative. God is going to come in and across this nation, across this city, across our family, and across our church. All things are going to change rapidly in people's lives and circumstances and situations. Just what we are going through right now will just disappear, and we will flow in the Spirit and in the will of God. The importance of understanding and taking hold of our destiny. And you know, destiny unfolds in phases. Most of the time is in preparation. So what is happening now in our midst is a preparation for the next move or level of where God is taking us. That is why we are shaken. For what? In order to show us where He wants us to go. But then faces begins to unfold for the expression of that destiny and the outworking of that destiny. And you know, there's a lot of things in life which can be good and which are good but do not relate to your calling and destiny. And it's really important to understand the difference are there are many things which are good things you can be involved in or things you are busy with, things that you are doing which are good but not involved, not really associated with our destiny and calling. It absorbs our attention. It absorbs our focus. It absorbs our concentration. And if you're not walking in towards your destiny, there's going to be a sense of disorientation in your life, a sense of confusion, and a sense of unrest. God is our creator. He is a creator. He is an achiever. He is a doer. The Bible says that we were created in His image, His likeness, and there is a deep sense in the heart of every human being. Whether you're born again or not, there's a deep sense in every human being, a sense of destiny, a sense of purpose, a sense of reason for being here. And with many in the world today, cause that some very real deep, it comes alive. It comes to facts into life in a greater way when you are born again. And you come into the kingdom of God and you become apprehended by God. It is God that draws you. You just sense that. You know, a recent survey of medical practitioners revealed that the majority of their patients were suffering from a profound lack of purpose in their lives. A profound lack of purpose in their lives. And their lives were meaningless, and in turn, that it had a direct bearing in their physical ailments. And that was a secular survey. Printed in a medical journal, and it's kind of interesting that majority of their patients suffered from profound lack of purpose. Their lives were meaningless, and because of that, sicknesses is taking hold. And God has a purpose for our lives. And He has a destiny for us. I read that verse again. Who had saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So I told the Lord, I'm nothing yet, and then You love me? I kept telling Him, I was created for Your glory. I did not say, I was born for Your glory. Because before I was born, He has already a purpose for me. So I kept telling that, I was created for Your glory. I am created for Your glory. And that's destiny. You see, taking hold of that as an individual Christian, you know what? Destiny is not automatic. Destiny doesn't just happen. There are things which we must do. There's a cooperation with God and with His Spirit that is required. And I want to talk to you three basic requirements. I think I mentioned them last Thursday. If we're to take hold of our destiny, when this revival or this move of God breaks, I believe it will if we will do our part. Each of us will give our minds and our hearts into it. Don't just sit there and wait and say, that's not my job. That's the pastor's job. That's the leader's job. If this is our attitude, that's a red flag. Meaning you're just here for something else. You're not connected to what God wants to do in His church. It is a cup. Remember last Thursday? We're in a race. We are a team. This is what our pastor Bob had been teaching over the years. If you heard him said it, read his books again and again, and said, we have to break this paradigm or model, pastor and congregation paradigm. Meaning we don't rely on God's work only to the fivefold ministry, which are pastor, teacher, lead, evangelist, prophet, apostle, in the work of the Lord. Everyone has to find his or her role, plan, mission in edifying and strengthening the body of Christ. I think this is where we fall short as a church. You've not heard our Pastor Bob Thompson, one of his main calling is to provide seeds to the sower, to the whole body of Christ worldwide. And you're very fortunate, and we are all very fortunate and blessed to be here. I believe if we started to take hold of it, when this revival, when this move of God breaks, it will be a lot easier for us to be caught up into it. Because we won't have to go to the whole process of knocking things off our life, which going to be, get in the way. So the three areas I want to talk is defining our purpose in life. Define it. Second, the importance of gathering necessary resources to help you achieve it. Gathering the necessary resources. And third is to stay focused on that purpose. Because you know what? When that destiny is awakened, the enemy knows. And he will do anything he can to distract you, to kill that, to put you down, and not focus on that destiny. Staying focused on that purpose, defining your purpose and focus on that. Well, how do I find that what God has called me to? How do I really know what God has called me to? You know, sometimes we want a prophecy over us. We want someone to prophesy or tell us or speak to us. Let somebody come along and prophesy over me and give me a dream or give me a vision, or most once a prophetic word, someone else to tell them. Okay, you need to ask that question. How serious are you about this? How serious, how badly do you really want to know what God has called you to? How badly do you really want to know? You know, it is just a casual thing, and you say, if God has something for me, He will reveal it to me. And after 20 years, you're saying, if God has something for me, He will reveal it to me. And then now you're 60, you're still saying, if God has something for me, He will reveal it to me. And you die saying, God, I don't know what you had for me, you know. How badly do you really want to know? How do you find out what God has called you to? If this is what we must do, okay, we must fast, pray, knock, seek, ask. Fast, pray, knock, seek, ask. Keep on fasting, keep on praying, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on reaching into God, keep on pressing into God. how God conveys it to you, that is his business. But it is our business to seek him with all our heart. The Bible says, if you will seek me and search me with what? All of your heart, then you're going to find me. Now, how badly do we really want it? It is the attitude of our heart. I told you last Thursday, when this destiny was awakened by God in my heart, it was through a lot of dealings he did in our lives. And it pushed me to seek him until I said, I will not leave this sanctuary until you speak to me. So I went inside the church every day, 9 in the morning up to 2 in the afternoon. I would lock myself. And I would talk to God. I will pour out everything to the Lord. Every question, everything that is in my heart. I said, I need to hear from you. You know what I said last Thursday? I told the Lord, if church will be like this, I don't want church. If ministry will be like this, I don't want the ministry. Even mission fields will be like this, I don't want it, I said. I told the Lord, I want the real thing. I want the real thing, Lord God. Right now, I said, I'm in pain. I got hurt because of a lot of misunderstanding, false accusation. We went to America to put up a church. A lot of things happened. A lot of stories told. And I told God, we went there because you gave us a word. Way back in the 80s, we have a big offer to stay here. A good salary for the ministry. If that is what we are after, we would have taken that offer a long time ago. I don't want to leave my comfortable zone, and that is my home, the Philippines. Where can you find? I was praying in America. My husband is in the Philippines. The same time I was praying early in the morning, he is praying nighttime. At the same time we are praying, God gave us one verse. And then I called him. I have led you through fires and through the waters. I have let men trample over your heads. But now I will lead you to a wealthy land. And then I told him, what can you say about this? He said, what? I was just praying. So it's the word. I don't have any intention of coming over here. When we came here, you know what? 5 denominations are after us. One of them bought us a house. We didn't say yes yet. Along Bay Area. 2-bedroom house. He bought us a house. So that we would say yes to him. Then my husband said no. The bishop that will offer us nothing, we will take that. And there's one bishop that came that offered us nothing, only petition. We have to pay for our petition. We have to pay all this. Only the petition, the papers. And we accepted that. So I am in pain, okay? So I told the Lord, I don't want, because I'm not used, I told him I'm not used to carrying heavy loads, okay? That's not me. I don't want going out there and then smiling, then I have this pain. And I'm asking him, begging him, is it possible?
just to serve you without any people involved with it. I'm just being honest with the Lord. I'm being honest with the Lord. So I said, please show up. Show up. I want to hear from you. I want to really know what you want from us. I want to know my destiny. Yes, growing up, I had visions, even though I'm not a Christian yet. Even places that God showed me. That's why when I married him, I told him, can you take me to that place? I know it's there. And we drive there and it's there. So along on seeking your destiny, God will show you things that growing up or either when you're born again, it may be dream, it may be revelations that will lead you to awaken that. Now, how badly do we really want it? It involves our attitude. Well, if God chooses me, I have to know at all cost. You see, attitude is very, very important. If we were given a few more months to decide, okay, like in situations, we were given a short time to decide. What will be our attitude? If you really want to know God's God for you in your life as an individual Christian or as a church, you'll make it your business to finding out before God, regardless what it costs you. You might have to fast and pray and seek God for the next coming days, weeks, or whatever. But somewhere down the line, if you keep seeking, if you keep fasting, if you mean business with God, His words is going to come to you. Whether through prophetic, somebody prophesied over you, whether through vision, dreams, whether it's just from your heart or a revelation. It will come. It will not come cheaply. It will not just come, but you have to pay for the price. You are really going to seek God to know your destiny and the destiny of our church. It doesn't just unfold. You have to take hold of God and press into Him. You know, Jacob in the Old Testament faced a real problem, a real dilemma. There came a time in his life which was very dangerous situation and things had to change in his life. He came into a crossroads in his life. All of his life, he had been running from his destiny. All of his life, trying to pull strings to get what he felt God had for him. All of his life, he had been doing that. And after quite a number of years, finally he said, God, I've got to know. And he was in a dangerous situation because his brother is after him. Like a life and death situation. In Genesis 32:11, he says, deliver, I pray, from my brother. Remember his brother. He stole his birthright. Now he's coming back after many, many years. And he doesn't know whether his brother is going to kill him. How much hate he has. He said, deliver me from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and smite me. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, this angel, actually it was the Lord. The Lord touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh went out of joint, and as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. You know, this is the kind of attitude which God wants you to have, you and me. I told the Lord, I will not leave this place. I want to know. How many of you are desperate really to know, and you waited for many years and you've got glimpse maybe of what God has called you to, but you're not very sure. There's not any definition of really of your purpose. This was Jacob. You see, he said, I'm not going to let you go. Now I've gone through all these years. I've got to know that you're with me in this. And so he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. He said unto him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. There's coming a profound change in his life now. And he said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no more be called Jacob, but it shall be called Israel, for a prince. Now you have power with God, with man, and has prevailed. Total change starts in the life of Jacob. But you know, he could casually come along and he could have said, well, you know, it's fate. Whatever will be, will be. God is in control. I'll just march into the land. But he didn't. He stopped. He went aside from all the people and he took hold of God. And he wrestled with a man and he said, I'm not going to let you go. His attitude was, I'd rather die here than continue like this. I don't know how my brother feel about me. I don't really know about my destiny anymore. God, I don't know what you called me to. All my life I've been running away, hiding. I've been trying to get what I felt was mine in God. But I still have missed it now. You see, God, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And of course, God responded to him. He had been running all his life from the destiny, his destiny for many, many years. God has blessed him with wealth and other blessings, but his destiny left unfulfilled. He has been running from the destiny for many years. You see, Jacob had great call of God in his life. He was to become the father of many nations. And he had a great call upon his life, and the thing he had to be finally settled. So he wrestled with this angel. Actually, it was the Lord. And he said, I will not let you go. I will not stop unless I know Jesus. How do you know? You need to know what God's purpose for your life is, for the direction and the purpose of our church. You need to know the specifics. It needs to become more specific, not general. General goals in life are never accomplished, ever. You just have a general goal. It never accomplished. Only specific goals can be accomplished. If there is a general thing in your life, it will never happen. You need to know from God, you see, and get specifics. Seek the Lord. There has to be a passion for this. And say, God, I really need to know what you've called me to. You see, and you know, it comes as we seek, as we take hold of God. You know, this thing happens in our church, you know, dealings upon dealings. You know, I thought it will never stop. When we are just in a small church, when we started the church, we put a ceiling. Half of the ceiling is canvas, and this is all dirt. And if you go to church with high heels, you know what will happen. We started with a few people, but after 6 months, we have 120 people. And we have, I think, about 140 children. So we built another church for the children, dirt also. So we were enjoying the church. And one Sunday service, the first thing that this happened to us, 12 people in the church saw angels surrounding the church. 12 people, they saw the same vision. And they saw 3 angels with 6 wings on the stage.
while my husband is preaching. And we stop singing. We're singing, "Through our God, we shall do valiantly." And then we stop singing because the voice of the angels came out of the speakers. And we stopped singing and we started crying. That was Sunday. And then the next week, on a Saturday, Mount Pinatubo erupted and buried our church 6 feet below the ground. So everything was lost. What a great loss that is. And then we came back Sunday morning after the eruption. The two of us are trying to retrieve what we can retrieve. We're trying to, you know. And we were both crying. And then God spoke to my husband and said, "You see, this temple was destroyed. Yeah, I have allowed it. But I'm building a temple within you that will never be destroyed." Amen. Amen. You know, when you look at things, or the things of the natural, we are so attached with it. I cannot blame us, okay? That's us, okay? Well, anyway, sometimes, you know, God will test us. Even if it's the ministry, the church. So when he heard that from the Lord, we got so excited again. In just 2 months, we found a place, but we don't have money. I borrowed $5,000 from my aunt here in America. And I asked the Lord, "Can we do business for 2 months?" Because all the people were scattered because they got scared. They went to different towns. So we just meet in our house for Bible study, prayer meeting like that. So what we did, we went back into business for 2 months, buying imported cars from the Americans in Clark Air Base, knocking at their house, and then say, "Hey man, are you gonna sell your car?" So anyway, in 2 months, we earned about, we earned about maybe about 280,000 pesos. So I paid my aunt. So we found 3 dilapidated buildings. So we leased that and repair it and put the church again. And Brother Eddie and Pastor Stan visited that church. And Brother Eddie, after preaching, he got a small pail of water. And for, you know, is that water or is the towel? Because it's too hot. It's too hot. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's the attitude of our hearts. Amen. You take hold of God to know, and it comes from Jesus through His Spirit. When Jesus breaks the bread to you, you know, and your eyes will be open. And we will see the direction of the Lord. You know, on the road of Emmaus, when He broke bread, their eyes were opened. And as Jesus, and when Jesus brings His word to you, when there's real word from the Lord, whether through prophetic or whatever would comes, but when you know there's a real word from God into your spirit, your eyes will be opened. Your destiny will begin to unfold. You begin to see the reason for your life, but it has to come from Him. He has to break it to you, but it doesn't just break it. You have to seek Him with all of your heart. And there has to be a searching for Him. Most Christians are taken captive by what they call the tyranny of the temporary. Simply means that you cannot break free. He cannot break free out of being caught up with just the temporal things in life. You live only for this life. You live only for the things of this life. We're taken captives by the temporary things of this life. We live only, even as Christians, quite often just living only for this life.
And you say, this is my life. But we have to break from that. Nothing is wrong with the things that we have, okay. But the attitude of our hearts. God has to deal with us concerning this. Before we got saved, we're both businessmen. We're earning a lot of money. We have shipments coming from Hong Kong, containers by containers. To make the long story short, we got saved. And then after that, when we got saved that night, the pastor gave him a Bible. I don't know what came to him. He locked himself for 1 week inside the room. He finished reading the Bible. He didn't eat. He just take water. And I do not understand. We just got saved. At the end of the week, he had a vision. God, I'll make it short. God took him to hell. He showed him the perishing souls, and then he took him to heaven. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, he saw my family are all saved, his family are all saved. And he saw two girls. And he asked God, who are those two girls? They're going to be your daughters. Because during that time, we only have one son. They're going to be your daughters. So anyway, after that, not too long, about after 3 months, we went into full-time ministry. And while serving the Lord, God dealt with him again. And he sought the Lord again, and the Lord led him to the rich young ruler. And he told me about it, and then I said, what do you mean? Go sell everything we have and give them to the poor? Because we're still in business. So I know he's really having a hard time with me. So I sought the Lord. And then the Lord dealt with my heart. And then I told him, okay, whether I understand you or not, I will support you. So we sold the house. We sold all our cars, all our businesses. The shipment is not only our business. We have a lot more. So we sold everything. And then we asked a friend to take it to the tribes in the mountains. And all our signature clothes and everything we gave them to. We just left with us shirts and jeans. And that's the beginning of a wonderful life with the Lord. So along the way, we have been through a lot. I'm excited because it's my first time to suffer. I never tried riding the transportation jeepney, you know, because we have a driver. We have helpers that take care of us. We have a driver that take me to school and a driver that, you know, pick us up. I never had a chance to know what is to be poor. But when we went in full time, first I'm so excited. In the middle, I'm already crying. Because these hands are already bleeding, you know, out of washing clothes through my hands. When we went into that studio-type apartment, we don't have anything. No stove, no refrigerator, no nothing. So I pick up 3 big stones and put up wood there so I could cook. Well, anyway, along that process, God has been with us. I call it a wonderful life because that is when he becomes so real to us. But along that way, we were so excited. We were just very young. We started in the street ministry. I think some of you know this story. Till we end up in the rooftop of the public market doing regular crusade. Then going around our province up to the northern part, up to the central southern part of the Philippines. We went through all this to hold crusades. Even in the midst of an encounter with the communist
insurgents, people, and the army. We are in the middle doing crusade. We just an encounter, you know, we will be killed. But God protected us. Well, anyway, all these things happened. And we went to not eating for 2 weeks because we don't have any food. But God is faithful. So break away, okay, from the things that we are so attached to. They are there. They're blessing, okay? They are a favor from God. But our heart is not there. Amen? Amen. Okay, we need to understand that when this life is a training spear for eternal purposes. Eternity is long time. And I think once we get to the other side, we look back and think, oh, if only I did this, if only I obeyed, if only we see, we live for time, and eternity is very, very long. There is no time. What do you, in this temporal life, determines your eternal roles? Perfection, when we understand perfection from the Greek and Hebrew, the word perfection and coming into perfection in our life essentially is to finish what God has called you to do. That's the real root meaning of perfection. It's not sinless perfection. It simply means to finish what God has called you to do. See, when Paul got the end of his life, he said, I finished my course. I've run my race. I've got to the end of my life. I've done the will of God in my life. I've finished my course. So perfection is to finish that which we are called to do. The word is completeness. I have completed. To finish that which our role, our purpose in life, and the purpose of our church. So do not be afraid. Be still. Something good is about to happen. Some churches had breed without a clear purpose of their destiny. They really are. They're missing element which used to be in the 60s and early 70s, which no longer here. At the church, we want a kind everything, you know, we want blessing. We want God to answer all our prayers. We want everything. And we breed a pack of believers who just sit in church and just satisfied, not seeking to move with God where He has destined them. You know, in the early 60s, Jim Elliot is a guy called of God. He was a missionary, aviation pilot, and he had a real call from God on his life. To reach the Orca Indians in Peru. Spent 10 years preparing for this mission because he knew God's specific call on his life was to reach this Indian tribe, which was a very large Indian tribe in the Peruvian jungle. This tribe, it had no contact with white men. And he spent 10 years of his life preparing to go to this place. And eventually he was able to get into this area where this tribe of people were. And he stood in the Peruvian jungle and he said to God, this, and it was recorded as he wrote down. And he said, Lord, if it takes my life to reach these Indians and to fulfill my destiny, I offer it to you today. He was the first white man to make contact with these people. He spent 3 weeks with this Indian sowing the seed of God's love. And he stood on the banks of the river deep in the jungles and penned these words, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. 2 days later, he laid face down in the same river with 15 spears in him. So he died. 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, for our light affliction, which just for a moment worketh for us an exceeding more eternal weight of glory. Destiny. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth now, there in that day. And he went on to say on the next chapter, for we know eternal in the heavens. So later, Jim Elliot's wife went into that large tribe. She went in 9 months later into that large tribe and led the entire tribe to the Lord Jesus Christ. She wrote the book Through Gates of Splendor, which tells the story. You know what? I'm amazed with the revelation of forgiveness. She stood face to face with a man that killed her husband. And she doesn't have anything in her heart against him but the love of God. You know, which life are you living for? How badly do you want to do the will of God? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You might have, or all of us might have, 20 years left. You see, what are we going to do for the next 20 years, if we have 20 years? Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. See, there was something in his spirit. There was passion within his heart. He said, I count not my life dear that I might attain that which God has apprehended for. Paul often, this life, our destiny, like into a race. So at the end of his life, he was able to sing. 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight of faith. I finished my course. I kept the faith. What about us? What about us for the next 20 years? The 20 years left. What it's going to do in our lives? You see, we're captured with the tyranny of the temporary, caught up with just this life. We got to break out of it. Count not your life dear. Live it for God. Live it for eternity, not time. You know, to the degree that you understand the importance and the implication of eternity, to that degree, you will understand God's purpose for your life. But only to the degree that you understand eternity and the ongoing purposes of God. If you don't understand that, you live your life for this life, and destiny is a very, very important thing. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. You keep your life, you will lose it. To gain what you cannot lose. And those are the eternal rewards. Before I will end. Through the years, our church has been through a lot. In searching for our destiny. We have been through a lot in searching for our destiny. The church has been through a lot in searching for the destiny of the church. When I locked myself in the church and we sought the Lord, I'm in the church, he's in his office. I cried a lot. I did not stop until I got hold of the Lord. Till I said, Lord God, I do not understand anymore, but this one thing I know. You said faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of this is love. Of all the gifts, you said, it is love. So I'm asking for your love. My love will not do it, I said. I'm asking for your love. And can I ask you, give it to me portion by portion? I'm not asking 100% because it will kill me. And as I said last Thursday, for those of you who are not here last Thursday, I was crying. I said, I don't care anymore us being pastors of this church. I don't care anymore about the ministry. if the ministry will only make us worse. I don't care anymore about people. If people will make us demons. And I said, can I just serve you without any people in it? Because in my heart right now, I only want you. Even revival, whether I like it or not, it will come. Even if you use me there or not, I don't care anymore. Because all I want is you. So much pain. And I ask him, the only thing that can cure this pain is his love. I was walking back and forth. The church area is about 700 square meters, so I have to walk a long walk going back again. And when I went back, I saw him sitting there. I was there. And he said, Karina, come. I could not come. I was shaking. I was just looking at him like, come, he said. It took me a while before I make one step and then another step coming toward him. And then he let me sit beside him. And then he took my head over his chest here. I started crying. I poured out everything. Help me to love people. Help me to have your heart. That I may have the heartbeat of Jesus. Help me to see the way you see. Help me to understand things the way you understand. I'm human, I said. I fall short. I want you, I said. And he told me, you've asked for the greatest gift. And then he smiled. Then after he said that, I will pour it out to you. Then I told him, I only want you. I only want you. Then I started crying and then he disappeared. Then after that, I kept seeking him. We kept seeking him and seeking him. And then I shared this to our people in the church about the love of God. And then we encouraged the people that we will seek the Lord. The whole church will seek the Lord. So we spent time seeking the Lord. We sat with our leaders. We sought the Lord. We prayed with our leaders. We cried before God. From the pastors to our leaders. That's when we were able to gather intercessors. Now we have intercessors 4 days in a week. From Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday up to Friday. And as we pray together, as we seek the Lord, as we fast, we encourage the fathers. God gave us a vision for the fathers of the church, for the family, for the women, for the children and the young people. As we pray together and seek the Lord, He gave us direction. The first direction is for the fathers. And my husband declared to the church, all the fathers. Yeah, come to the altar, he said. And then build their own altars in their house. And to lead their family every night in prayer. Then every woman to pray. If they have time, join the intercessors. And then God gave us a vision for the youth. It started with a young boy. A young boy who's always there, knock at my door,
every afternoon together with his grandma, because his grandma is an intercessor. They're coming early before the time of intercession. And that boy never leaves until we finish praying, and he's crying together with us. And then the Lord told me, lay your hands on Hans. That's his name, Hans. He has a calling. So I told him. And then he told me, can you teach me? I want to serve the Lord. So he brought his notebook. I taught him how to do journaling and devotion. How to read the word and write it down. And what God has spoken to him, he wrote it down. And then he told me, I want to be a pastor. So you want to preach? He said, yes. He's only, during that time, 8 years old. So I taught him how to make a sermon out of 2 points or 3 points, out of one verse. And he made his first sermon. So I let him exhort during our intercession. Then after that, before I would preach in the church, I would let him preach for 10 minutes or 8 minutes. Then after that, I would take him to revival campaigns, let him preach before I preach. And Hans multiplied. Now the youth are all preaching. They take turns. They have an overnight prayer meeting once a month. They're the one who asked for that. See, when we seek God, and when love is there, God will speak to us, and God will show us His direction. You know what, saints? Now, I praise God because our people, they have a big heart. We stayed 6 months here conducting revival campaigns. They stayed faithful, praying for us and loving us. Because of the love of God, we got used to saying, I love you, 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 I love you. Every time we meet. Every time we say, good morning, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You know, we have been saying that over and over again. Because the love of God makes us one. They have a big heart. They did not complain while we are here. They have been one with our destiny and the calling and the destiny of the church. No complaint. They understood the hand of God upon us and upon the church. No complaint. They did what God has destined for them while we are away in the church wholeheartedly. And we were so much blessed with their faithfulness, humility, and sacrifice. And every time we talk to them, you know, they write us letters. It's all about love. No condemnation. No judgment. They don't see the negative. They see the purpose of God. And when we got home last August, it was the first time that this thing happened in our church. When we started preaching, a breakthrough upon breakthrough every Sunday is going on. Imagine in the middle of the preaching, they would just stand from their 2 feet. They would shout and yell and jump. We have to wait for them. Because of the revelation that hit them, they cannot contain it. They would jump and shout and clap their hands, and we would have to wait for them. Then after the, are you settled down? I said, okay, let's continue. This is going on until finally one message, it broke through hard on us. We were overflowing. They took the flags. They went around worshiping God, praising God
It's happening even right now. And the church is just being filled with people. Now there are new families that are being saved, and they're asking us, can we follow them up? Oh, you got their name, so whoever is willing. Yeah, we call them the follow-up team. They're following up. The first-timers, they would go to them, pray for them. If they're by themselves in the house, they will help them clean the house. If they're old people, they would even wash their clothes for them. We didn't tell them to do this. We didn't tell them to do this. It's an outflow of the love of God. And it's happening right now. And then we told them, last Sunday, I said, you know what? We are being blessed by what's happening. I love you guys. We love you guys. You know that. We love you. We love you. They're saying, they're seated there. But something came up. I said, our mama and papa needs us, okay? So we have to be away for 2 weeks. That's a Sunday. And we will be leaving for the States, okay? Only for 2 weeks. We'll be back, I promise. October 23, we'll be here, I said. And they said, when are you leaving? Tomorrow. And they started clapping and laughing. And then, do you still love us? Yes, we love you. We'll be praying for you. And they went up here and we had photos and we're hugging. And they said, well, we're having the photos October 23. Be sure you'll be here October 23. You know, you see what love can do to us. Amen. Amen. And we love you guys. We love you. And so can we stand, please?
I think we've been challenged this morning. And I think we need to take the challenge seriously. We all have agreed that the choices that we have set before us, we need a word from God. Have we all agreed? We need a word from God. Well, I think she explained it clearly. It's not going to just come floating in the window. We're going to have to put an effort into it. And that involves the F word. I got your attention, didn't I? Fasting. Now, in the old days, the kings used to proclaim a fast and everybody had to do it. Now, is that? And if the king said everybody, every man, woman, and animal fasted, that's what happened. I know we have some kids and we have to be careful, but we can fast from sugar and feed them healthy diets, but keep them off sugar for a while. Well, okay, Stan, that's fine. We're going to have to fast. Huh? How long is it going to be? Well, I'll tell you what I think, and that is till we hear from God. I'm not telling us all to not eat and not drink because it's Southern California, and come tomorrow, the humidity is going to be 10%, and we'll dry up and get cramps all over the place if we don't keep up some moisture. But we do need to hear from God. We do need to hear from God. So I'm asking us as a church to take what we've heard seriously and spend a lot of time in prayer and to fast and pray. Jesus said, when you fast like this. Notice he never said, if you fast. That's just part of the Christian discipline. It's just part of the Christian discipline. There are disciplines in Christianity. That's one of them. And what we can gather from what we heard is nothing comes from God that's convenient. And we're used to convenience. This is America, right? You know, we're living in America. And everything we want is convenient. You can have it your way. And what? Serving God is not convenient. Considering yourself dead is not convenient. Fasting and praying is not convenient because we all have schedules. Especially here in the United States. I'm going to spend some time this afternoon with Native Americans. And they have an expression. The white man has a watch, but the red man has time. We all go by the watch, but we need to learn a little lesson. We need to just spend time with God and take the time. This is not going to come. It's not going to come. I got a job to be at tomorrow morning, early. All of us have things we're going to have to do. It's not going to be convenient. But I'm urging us as a family, we need to take the time to seek God. It includes fasting. So, did you have more you wanted to share? No.
On the fasting, it's after that. If it's just one meal. Or...
Yes.
That's okay.
Okay. You want to turn this off? No, I agree with that. I'm going to repeat it. I'm not saying don't eat anything until we hear from God, but I am saying let's fast until we hear from God. So if you fast a meal, and fast a meal a day, some are capable of doing stronger fasts because of your circumstances. Some constitutions are better than others. I don't want anybody ending up in the hospital. But I'd like us to fast and pray. Fasting without prayer, I heard a guy at the school of ministry, fasting without prayer is diet.
Exactly, yeah.
We don't want to go on a diet. We need to hear from God. We do. We really need to hear from God. Because things are in motion and things are going to happen and decisions are going to be made. And what we want is what God wants. And the only way we know we're getting what God wants is if we hear from God. And when we do, we're all going to be in agreement because we're all going to hear from God. And God doesn't speak out of both sides of his mouth. So it's already 12:30. I have a memorial service to do this afternoon. At 4, there will be no evening service, so that those of you who knew Bill Brown, he used to attend the church here, the Brown family, you're free to join us in San Marcos. If you need the specifics, let us know. We can give them to you. You can join us as we remember Bill Brown, who drowned recently. They still don't know exactly what the cause. They're leaning towards the idea that he had a heart attack while he was scuba diving, but we don't know yet for sure. We just know he's gone. He left behind family and friends. There'll be two of his brothers. You'll recognize them immediately. And Troy and Shelley, many of us remember, haven't seen in a while. So you're welcome to join us this afternoon, 4 o'clock in San Marcos. And you can pray for me that I'll have wisdom. And I'll be talking about the resurrection. Okay? So what I'm going to do then is I'm going to dismiss us. Is that all right? Because we've got places to go, things to do. But anybody that wants to stay and pray, the altar's here. We'll make arrangements. We'll make arrangements. And if I have to stay here with you because other people have to go, I'll stay here with you. And except I will have to leave sooner or later in order to go to the funeral service. Okay, Father, we thank you for bringing our brother and sister to us and for them sharing their hearts. I thank you, Lord, for the challenge. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Now I pray, Father, that you would bless your people, Lord, with a desperate spirit, so that we would not take any of these things lightly, Lord. Will we assemble here? Will we assemble somewhere else? Will this be our pastor? Will that be our pastor? Those matters are not really important. Those matters are not the issue. The issue that's facing us is we are here in a point of time according to your wisdom and your purpose. Here we are. You predestined that. You set it aside. It was in your heart and mind before the world ever began. And we have a reason for being here now. And we will have failed if we do not accomplish that. We can meet together and have wonderful services and send tapes all over the globe. And if we do not meet the purposes that you set for us, we will have failed. And all the rest of it will probably count for nothing. So I'm asking, Lord, that you would put in us your heart, Father. I'm asking, Father, that you would put within us your heart for this season that we have where we need to seek your face. That we would do as old when the kings proclaimed a fast. When we would do as old when the first church proclaimed a season of fasting and seeking the face of God. You gave us direction. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Ask and keep on asking. That's where we need to be, Lord. That's where we need to be. And I'm first, Lord. I'll say, I have not taken this as seriously as it needs to be, Lord. I'll confess that. I have not inconvenienced myself. I've considered the whole thing an inconvenience, and yet I have not inconvenienced myself. And Lord, help us. We need to, it's in sackcloth and ashes, Lord. And so that has to be put on. We don't wear it all the time. I'm asking you to give us the grace, Lord, to put on sackcloth and ashes. That's an irritation. That's not pleasant. That's an inconvenience, to say the least. And yet it can be done, as Daniel has done it, where his face and Nehemiah did it, where their face and their countenance before the king was still good. Yet their heart was broken and contrite before you. I'm asking you, give us all grace and wisdom, Lord, to know how to hear this word, how to take heed to what you're saying, how to fulfill it, how to fast, how to pray, how to seek your face, how to put some time and effort and inconvenience into this, Lord, so that we can have the breakthrough, so we can hear what you're saying. I don't know that we have yet heard your choice. Grant us, Lord, your favor. As we humble ourselves before you. Now I pray you bless everyone who's here. As we go our different ways. Keep us in you, Lord. Keep us from the evil one. And cause the word you've imparted in our hearts, Lord, to grow. Don't let us shake away from it, Lord. Cause it to grow. Help us to give attention to it. Like a cherished thing, like someone just gave us a baby and we need to take care of this thing till it grows up. Not neglect your admonition to us today. I ask in Jesus' name, and everyone would say,
Amen.
Amen. All right, you may be dismissed.